just what he's done for my family over the past year. Because a year ago, not a lot of people in here know everything about my family, which is fine. There's a lot of stories in here that people tell about their lives. But a year or so ago, my husband and I barely could stand each other. And, you know, there was different struggles going on with Nate and with Chelsea and Nate, and I'm just so thankful for where we are today. Amen. We're not where we want to be, but we're not where we were. But they
talked to that. Amen. Thank God for it. Sure. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share a testimony of what the Lord has done? I know the Lord's been very merciful to me and my family as well. And I just thank God that he looked down on the Morey family. Though myself, I spit in his face my whole entire life. I was the one who just didn't, I didn't know anything enough about God to want to go to him. And in his long suffering, he looked down from eternity past and seen that one day Dale Morey would search for the love of the truth, and that one day Dale Morey would be saved. And his long suffering, though I went through all that I went through, it really has made me into the man that I am today. It really has made me to who God wants me to be. And the more and more that God strips away of that old manhood, that the facade that I put on, the facade that you see on the outside, the more that God strips that away, the more I enjoy the person he's bringing out. And for the first time in my life, I can say I actually enjoy who I've become. For the first time in my life, I can say I enjoy who I've become. Just.
Taryn wanted me to share something for him. He said that what a big blessing it is that his family's been coming to church.
Amen.
And I have something too. This is the first Christmas and holiday season that I will have spent sober in many years.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And this is my first Christmas as a saved woman.
Amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Miss Ruth Ann, and then you. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, Miss Ruth Ann.
I just want to thank the Lord for all the blessings he's done for the Jackson family.
Oh, amen. Yes. Been good.
I remember running into John Asquith for the first time. He was working at the No-So Serviceman Center, and I was a mess. And we built our relationship off of a King James Bible.
Yes,
we did not discuss anything but King James Bible. Every moment I was with him, we discussed God's Word. We were either chewing it up and spitting it out and chewing it up and mulling over it or discussing doctrines or getting me straight on the fact that God still wrote the Word that we believed in and that it was the real Word of God and we could still read it. We based our entire... And we didn't court, we dated. But we based an entire relationship off of that King James Bible. And look at what God has wrought.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's right.
It's just a miracle.
Amen. Brother Ronnie?
I just want to add to what Amy said. What Bean said. I call her Bean, by the way. When you say Bean, talk about Shelly Bean. Or Belly Bean, however you want. I didn't know that my daughter was in such straits, you know. So I pray the Lord for the miracle that is my whole family sitting here. We have our own little corner with the Skolton's occupied. Sam's Skolton, he just doesn't know it.
Thank God somebody took him.
I've been with a lot of ladies here, so I have the privilege of being able to ask me to speak come next morning. I'll speak up. But they asked me to speak next month for a men's meeting, so the ladies won't hear this, and the men will hear it again. But I want to add this to what my wife said. Two things about Pastor Asquith that I don't know how he got away with. One was he yelled at me in my house. That's not a joke, okay? I'm serious. I don't know how he did that and he got away with it. And that's the other thing he said to me, he said, Ronnie, you need to stop being an effeminate wimp. I want to punch somebody else who said that to me. And I'm not being dramatic. But I want to add to what Amy said to me, or what Amy just said to you guys. About 3 weeks ago, I was sitting at my desk, reading the Bible, or reading a different book, and she came and she said to me, she says, Ronnie, you know, she might have called me Braveheart. She calls me Braveheart. And I call her Sweet Face, okay? Y'all can't say that. But she said, you know, I can't remember the last time we had a fight. I can't remember the last time we had an argument. And you know what? I can't remember the last time I felt warm than when she said that to me.
Amen.
And I want to praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Good.
Yesterday, we were driving around Olean before we came home, and we saw a church, and they had a great big display and all these things, and it said everyone welcome. And I realized myself and Debbie, we looked at a lot of churches. And we tried all sorts of different ones. And I realized last night how grateful I was that we didn't stay with any of those. Because, as I told my son last night, if I'd have been in that church or any of the other ones we went to, I'd have never found salvation. He'd have never had hope. And God wouldn't have done all the wonderful things he's done. So I'm grateful for a church and a pastor where they could love me. And like Ronnie said, correct me and scold me, but only because he showed me he loved me.
That's right.
Good.
Amen. Yeah. I was thinking about this when Sam was giving her testimony. But while me and my family were in our home and we were sick, I didn't really, like, we kind of mentioned it, you know, in a, you know, jokingly fashion, but we really didn't fight that much. We really didn't, you know, get at each other's throats as much. We more or less, we worked together to try and, you know, help each other out, and that wasn't something that we, you know, that we commonly did. You know, we, a year ago, we would have been at each other's necks, you know, within 2 days of just being stuck together. And that didn't happen. And I remember at like the first, second day I had COVID, you know, I was feeling sorry for myself, and I remember, I don't know why these words came back to me, but I remember pastor preaching about how even when, you know, you're in the worst times, to still give God thanks for it. And I remember the verse popped in my head about that too, and I started praying, and that popped up, so I thank God about that. And I was sitting there, and you know, I believe it was while I was watching one of the services, and I was just sitting there, I was just thanking God for everything that, you know, we had managed to be able to have while we were having COVID. And it wasn't too much after that just things just started. We started feeling better. We started, you know, having, you know, like just the sickness just stopped. And I would just like to give thanks to God for that.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Miss Pam.
I praise God for COVID. Because yeah. It gave my brother fear and an opening to give him the gospel.
Still praying for him. We're still praying for him, Miss Pam, as well. I just want you to know. Go ahead, Jody.
I just thank God. I mean, in probably a year's time, I'll be sending a Montgomery into the world. And he's the first Montgomery that's got hope.
Amen.
He's got people around him to guide him and lead him that generations before him did not have.
That's right.
I just thank God that this Montgomery generation might go do something different.
Amen. Amen. Pastor calls it breaking the cycle, and God surely has done that in the Morey family as well. Thank God for it. Thank God that Luke and Autumn have more hope than anybody in my entire family. My past, both on my mom and my dad's side, God just, you know, decided to save me and Amy and break that cycle even on her side. Though she didn't go out there and live so much as like a lifestyle of me and you. She went out there and lived the lifestyle that I won't put out there. But let me just tell you, Amy's got a testimony that blow you away, because everybody thinks, you know, just a little pretty nice little Amy. So I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't always pretty nice little Amy. And her life was it was a rough life that she lived. And it's those things that she lived through and the scars that she deals with today. And God working in those things. And what a wonderful thing. I gave a little testimony to Luke and Autumn. We do Bible at dinner table and stuff. We're going through the book of Proverbs as a family. And I just sat there. I said, Autumn, I said, you're 13 years old. I said, at 13 years old, I was already out in the streets.
Right.
13 years old, I was already out there struggling and trying to find a place to live and eat. At 13 years old, by the time I was 16, my first child was born. Luke is 16. They have no clue about anything that me and their mother went through. Listen, young people, when you're tired of your parents harping on you and you think your parents are just being mean, you have no clue what God has spared you from.
Right.
You have no clue what God has spared you from. Just because you ain't been in it, Rick. God spared you, my friend. God spared you. Ain't gotta have a testimony like mine to have a testimony. Ricky's gonna have a testimony just as much as anybody else. But you know why? God spared him. God spared him from those things. And young people that are sitting in this room today, God has spared you of those things. What a wonderful God for him to do that. Okay, anybody else?
Can I go again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. And I'm really thankful for Nate's family. We've had a rocky relationship with them for years now. And, you know, just ups and downs and stuff. And over the last few years, we've had almost no relationship with them. But since we've been coming to church, we've probably spent more time with them than we have in the last
time.
That's good.
God does that.
They came in over yesterday and they all sat down and they all just expected that, you know, they all joined hands and for Nate to pray, and it just felt really good to have that kind of a gathering with them. So
that's right.
Love found a way.
That's right. Amen. I'm just telling you, man. I know that feeling because God did that for me and my family and such, and you know, with Amy's family and stuff like that. God just made a way. God made those who were my enemies, my friends. They loved me. They invited me to their house. That was one of the weirdest things for me to get used to, is people inviting me to their house. You wouldn't want me at your house, right? John and Sharon. I'll never forget John and Sharon were one of the first people to ever invite me not only to their house, but to stay in their house. I said, Amy, they just asked. They just asked to come. They asked us to come and stay in their house, you know. But thank God that God does that type of stuff. He turns that life around and such. But anybody else before we get into preaching? Anybody else?
We were in Barstool a while ago, and I saw a sign and said, "Let God come into your heart." And I was thinking about that for like 10 minutes after, and I thought, "Have I let God in my heart?" And God told me I haven't, and I've been trying to work on that.
Good, Caleb. Good. You keep letting God do it because He wants to. Okay? Always remember that God wants to. You may not feel like it, but God wants to. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter 13. Some of us know this story, and we have lived this story. There's a lifestyle found in these pages. I was just sitting down yesterday. This was not what I was going to preach as of yesterday. This was not anything that I studied throughout the week. But God, when I went through this, gave me a message. Dale, you'll preach that at the 1 o'clock service. You got it. So this will be the first time I ever preached this, but it's an interesting thing, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but most of us know the story of Amon. You can say it. People say it different ways. Amon. I mean, you can say it whatever way you want, but Tamar and Amon, right? Is that how you say it? Amnon. Okay? I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't pronounce things perfect. I'm a saved, born-again man, off the streets, man, preaching the Word of God. What a wonderful thing that is, right?
Yeah.
God takes those things that were not wise, and He uses us to confound the wise. And you know what? It takes us even to learn how to pronounce words. So Amnon, okay? Here we go, Amnon. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 13. Let's start in verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, and whose name was Tamar, or Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. He was a very sneaky man. He was a man who was out there always trying to be slick with his mouth or slick with his ways. The devil's the same way. Go read it in Genesis chapter 3. Look what it says, and it says in verse 4, and he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Why are you sick? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat at her hand. Verse 6, so Amnon laid down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see Amnon, he said unto the king, I pray thee that let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. And then David sent home to Tamar saying, go now. Could you imagine if David understood at this moment what he was sending his daughter into? My friends, it's the norm in America today when people send their daughters out to that stuff. They're voluntarily sending their daughters out into the world and do not care about what happens to their daughters. They don't raise them in the house of God. They don't raise them in the Bible. And they'll send them out there with any person that comes along as long as somebody will take my daughter. Could you imagine if David really understood the repercussions of what was about to happen in this situation? Many people know what's going to happen to their children, Jody, and yet they send them out anyway. That's America for you. Look what it says. Then David sent home in verse 7 to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him to meat. And so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat, and Amnon said, have out all the men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber of Amnon, her brother. Verse 11 says, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her. And he said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him and said, nay, my brother, do not force me. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whether shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her, and he lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Look, he didn't just hate her, but he hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. Pastor, could you open this first service with prayer, please?
Father, I do pray now, give the man of God clearness to preach and give us ears to hear. Pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. What a sad tale that we read in this in the Bible here about what's going on. And Amnon got what he wanted. And he grew to hate Tamar. And he grew to despise what he got. This is a picture today of many people who are in the Christian walk, or many people who are seeking to be saved. And I want to point out to you some Amnons that we have sitting in the church pews today. There's some Amnons that we have that are watching live on Facebook that are sitting, and they're sitting there with the spirit of Amnon inside their heart. And look what it says. As Amnon became lovesick, and he became sin sick, and he was going out, he was going to put himself out there, he was going to pretend to be something he wasn't. He sought the more to get Tamar. So much so that instead of turning to the one who could help him, which Tamar said, King David will not withhold me from you if you go to him. Instead of turning to King David, he turns to a wicked friend. Many people today have become Amnon in seeking Jesus. They become so consumed and discouraged and depressed on why God will not save them. And instead of turning to Jesus, the only one who can help them, they turn to other lost people. They turn to other lost people like another lost person is going to show you how to get to Jesus Christ and be saved. Ammon turned to Jonadab, a wicked man. He didn't say, why don't you just go ask the king and he'll give her to you. No, he said, go, let's be slick. Let me show you how to deceive her and go pretend that you're sick so you can get what you want. Many today, Ronnie, are trying to seek Jesus Christ with the spirit of Ammon. They're not turning to the one who can help them. They're not turning to God. They're turning to other lost people to show them how to get saved. What did it do with Ammon? I can guarantee you this. It didn't help his situation. They get what they want. That person goes to another person. They get what they want. What is that? What are they getting? It's being more convinced that God will not save them or does not want them saved. And they grow to despise God and the things of God. I've met many people who are sitting in this church and who are watching that they go and they'll talk one with another. But let me tell you this. It has not drawn them any closer to God. But it's made them despise the things of God more. And tell me to my face that God does not want to save me. You don't get that from the Bible. You don't get that when you turn to Jesus Christ. You don't get that when you turn to God. You know why? Because all you're doing is you're looking at him in his face and you're telling him, you're nothing but a liar. You don't want to save me. So what you're saying is you're calling God an absolute liar to his face. Well, I believe that, Bob. You can't believe that Bible and call God a liar at the same time.
Right.
Which one is it? Which one is it? Your choice. That spirit of Ammon is inside of you. You're getting what you want. You're getting exactly what you want. What is that? To be convinced that God does not want to save you. That God will not save you. That's what you're getting from it. It has not drawn you any closer to God whatsoever. Then we have the Christian Ammons sitting in churches today, who at one point they sought Jesus Christ and Jesus saved them, and a short time later because of sin and disobedience, because of a refusal to surrender fully to Jesus Christ, they've become burned out, they've become weary, and in doing so have started to despise the things of God. He said God gives them what they want, that he saves them. They come to Jesus Christ, they're seeking that. They'll do anything to get there. Jesus Christ saves them, and then after he saves them, the spirit of Ammon comes in their heart, and a little while later, because they get burned out, because they're trying to do things on their own, trying to live their old lifestyle, trying to do the things that they used to do, they start despising God. There's no love. There's no, I'm doing this because I love Jesus. They've lost that because they went on out there on their own. They've grown to not, listen, Bible reading and praying and come to church has become a work for them now. God, take me off this planet if any of that ever becomes a work for me. God, take me off of this planet if coming to church is ever a problem with me. I don't want to live here anymore if coming to church is something that I have to do. Church is not something I do. It's who I am. It's who I am. I have Jesus Christ living inside of me. And this is his house. Why wouldn't I want to be here? It's changed my life. It's done something to me that nothing on this entire planet could ever do. You know, 40 years of being out there with psychiatrists, psychologists, jails, prisons, mental hospitals, and everything else, Brother Ronnie, and couldn't touch me. Jesus Christ steps in 9 years ago and turned my whole life upside down. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I got reasons to be thankful. Go with me, if you would, to Malachi chapter 1. It's at the end of the minor prophets there. If you can find it. If you can't, that's fine. I'll read it. Malachi chapter 1. Talk about the Christian Ammons that are sitting in the church today. Malachi chapter 1. We'll start in verse 6 and read through 9. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says this. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. God talking here, and he says, if I be the father, where's mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have you despised my name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. Oh, look at Lord. Look at how good of a person I am. I go to church. Oh, look at me. I read my Bible every single day. And the moment we walk away from the Bible, the moment we walk out of these church doors, we go back to being the same person we've always been. That's a polluted bread. That's something polluted we're trying to offer to God. Would you bring that to the President of the United States? Would you bring that to your boss? Would you bring a half-hearted paper to your professor? But we say we fear and honor God and offer him half-heartedness. We call him a liar to his face. That Bible's not real, because the Bible tells me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But there are people in this room that are sitting here today who tell God you are a liar. That is not the truth, because you won't save me. Verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for the sacrifice, is that not evil? You couldn't offer a blind sacrifice. You couldn't offer something that had a spot on it. If a man had his stones broke, he could not go in the house of the Lord, because those things were important to God. What we give God is important to him today. But we don't mind offering him second best. That's something, men, married men, or soon-to-be married men possibly, married man, you go ahead and put your wife in front of God and see what happens.
Yes.
That's one of the biggest struggles in my life, Tanya, is keeping my family second or third place below God. Oh, God, look at, and God's looking at me saying, Dale, you have your family in the wrong place. No, it's okay. They're okay right here. It's not okay. God is never going to take second place to anybody on this planet. Look what it says here. And if you offer lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased, saith thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Verse 9 says this. And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. Thus hath been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Will he regard your person, lost person? Will he regard your person in this room today? Or have you grown to despise the very thought that God can save you? Or have you grown to despise the very seeking that you have made an idol in your life? A lot of people can't get saved, Tim. You know why? Because they've made seeking an idol. And they've put that above God. You can't see God through human blurred vision. You'll never see God by taking your past experiences or somebody else's past experience and try to see God through. It ain't going to work. This is how you're going to see God, through his eyes. What he has said. This is what's going to show a person, according to 1 Peter, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. What is that incorruptible seed? The word of God. The Lord is talking to people who so-called bring acceptable sacrifices to God, and yet they're not worthy. They're despising God in their heart because they would not bring him the best, but they brought him things even the kings of this earth would not accept. So some who serve the Lord, they do the same while serving God. He asks for certain things to be done a certain way in our life, and we go out there and do it half-hearted or put him in second place. That's somebody who has the spirit of Ammon. Where God has given us salvation, Brother Ronnie. He's given us salvation. And now he says, you know what? It's no longer your purpose. Probably about a year, maybe a year and a half after I got saved, even more of a babe in Christ, I remember going, man, I really have to give that up. You know what I started doing? Despising God because he asked me to give things up. God saved me. He gave me what I was looking for. I wanted to be saved. Of all things, I wanted to be saved. And then when God saved me, guess what? Shortly after that, because of things he expected for me to get out of my life, I would start despising God because he's asking me to give them out, get them out. You see, God gives what we want. And then when we get what we want, sometimes we can't stand that we have it. Many a man, since traveling around the last few years in the ministry, many a man, after salvation, has prayed to God. And they've said, I'll go anywhere and I will do anything. Lord, please send me. And what God does, they begin to despise the ministry. They begin to despise the work that God has given them. God gave them what they wanted. He put a call on their life. And then when God started to separate them unto the ministry, you see, God doesn't just call a man, but he separates him unto. That separating unto is a hard place to be. Because that separating unto means, Lord, I'm going to give everything up and you're going to lead this whole entire thing. It's not about what I do. It's not about my will. It's not about my purpose. And when many a men are challenged with that separating unto, is when they walk away. They start despising God. They can't stand the ministry or the work that God has them do. How do you know that, Dale? Because I've been there in this ministry. You mean to tell me in the last 5 or 6 years, Dale, that's how you felt about the ministry? That's exactly what happened. You know why? Because I got in the way. I remember kneeling on the bed, me and my wife. You asked her not long after we got saved. They said, Lord, we will go anywhere. We will do anything. Just send us. And when God put that calling on our life and started separating us unto that, it became a very different walk in Christ. So much so that when I was in the ministry, probably about 2.5 years, it's been almost 6 years now, about 2.5 years in the ministry. I went through a very hard time in that ministry. Very hard. I had to push myself to go to the men. I had to push myself to go to the jail. I had to push myself to want to get out there. Push myself to write letters. All those kind of things. Why? Because God gave me what I wanted and I started to despise it. Because he wanted it done his way. It was not about me anymore. It's about those men and women who were lost. It's about what God knows, because he can see farther in the future. He can see those people that are going to come to him through the words that he gives me, through the Bible that he tells me to preach. He knows those things. And therefore, he tells me to shut my mouth. And you go out there and do what I say, not what you say. Almost destroyed the ministry, Tim. Almost destroyed it, man. Almost got put on a shelf. Because God gave me exactly what I wanted. And then when he gave it to me, I started to despise it. Isn't that what Amnon did to Tamar? He exceedingly hated her. He didn't just hate her. He went above and beyond to hate her. Because he got what he wanted. And there are many people who are doing that in the ministry. Many men who are doing that in the ministry today. But 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered. After that ye have suffered. You know what that means? We're going to go through some suffering. If God ever puts a calling on your life, you will go through some suffering. Because it's in that suffering, it's in those trials, it's in those hard times that God can make you into who he wants you to be. You see, after 40 years of living my life any way I want, there's still 40 years of that old man inside of me. And God's got to make me into the man he wants me to. How does he do that? Just let me tiptoe through the tulips? Oh, no. I've chosen thee with the fiery furnace of affliction, Isaiah says. Why? Because God doesn't want me to pollute his name. And God is not going to take second place in my life. But after you have suffered a while, make you perfect. That means mature. You know, the more things we go through, the more mature we become in this Christian walk. That's a hard thing to get, man. That's a hard thing to understand, because, listen, you can't understand how to handle a situation until you're faced with that situation. To establish. I love that word, establish. And establish. To establish means to build upon what's already been established. So what's that foundation? That foundation is Jesus Christ in my life. I've been established in Jesus Christ. That foundation has been laid in Jesus Christ. And now what established me to build on top of that? How does that happen? Through suffering. How do you learn how to handle things and become more mature in your Christian walk? Suffering. And then look at that last word. Strengthen. He strengthens you through suffering. And then settles you. That all comes from suffering. It doesn't come by him just handing it to you and saying, here. You know why? Because he knows the sinner's heart. He knows that he's got to put us through things in order for us to hate things the way he hates things. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want us just to hate him on our level. Mm-hmm. He wants to hate us to hate him on his level.
That's right.
That takes some pulling. That takes some hard things. That takes some fire to be lit underneath us. That takes some afflictions to go on there. Many of the ladies and men, they have prayed and they sought God to give them a husband and children. And God did so. He gave them a family. And then the attitude of Amnon has crept in. And when the works of a mom and the works of a wife have become tiresome and more children were being born and stress and uncertainty has crept in, then came the despising in the heart towards the husband and the children. I travel around this great planet we have here. And let me just tell you now, I watch them Christian women with their husbands and with their children and they can't stand them. But yet when they were little girls, they were taught, pray for a husband, pray for children. And now they got them, they can't stand them. Pastor says it perfectly. Go in the grocery store and watch. Those women may love their children, but I guarantee you this, they don't like them. Be careful what you pray for. Because you just might get it. And when you get it, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to despise it? Are you going to grow to hate it? Oh, it's so wonderful being a young couple. And look at, we're wonderfully married. 6, 7 kids later. How is it? How is it? Watch with my own eyes. Watching women and who despise their husbands and despise their children. Those very things that they prayed for. 2 Samuel 6:16 says this, and the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, and Michael, Saul's daughter, that's David's wife, he ended up marrying her, Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Not only do we have a church full of Amnons, people that are Amnons in here, but we have a church that are full of Michael sitting in the church pews and that are watching us on Facebook, social media. What do I mean by that? King David was celebrating a victory of having the Ark of the Lord return, and Michael was watching his victory and despised David in her heart. There are people right now, today, who are sitting in these church pews, Brother Ronnie, Chelsea, and Tanya, and Jody, and myself. There are people who are in these pews today who despise us because we claim that we're saved. They despise us in their heart. And you go around them and tell them that somebody else got saved, and they become very cynical because they don't believe that anybody else can be saved.
That's right.
They're Michael sitting in this church. They're Michael sitting on Facebook Live, despising those who claim to be saved. That's a reality. That's not a guess. That's a fact. Because they become cynical because they don't believe that anybody else can be saved. It's a lie. They watch what the Lord is doing in the lives of people. And they despise that, not only that person, but they begin to despise God and the things of God. And they try to replace him. Many people who are Christians in the church, that they'll try to replace God because they start despising the Bible. They start despising church. They start despising preaching. So what do? They try to replace it with programs. Mm. Well, let's put a program. Programs are more important than preaching, by the way. Programs are more important than the man of God getting up here and preaching the King James Bible to us. I never heard of such foolishness in my life. But you know why that is? Because we've got a bunch of Michaels sitting in the church pews despising people for what God is doing in their lives. Because they can't get it. Pastor, I've watched people despise me and my family because their family isn't that way. They watch the victories in our life. They watch what goes on in the Maury household, and they despise us because there's victory in me and my family's life, and yet they don't have victory in their life. But instead of wanting to become, instead of wanting to seek God with their whole heart, instead of wanting to get in the Bible, instead of wanting to sit underneath the preaching, they despise my family. That's what Michael was doing. David got a victory in his life, and Michael despised them. There are many lost Michaels sitting in church pews today who hear a person has gotten saved and despise the notion that God would save them and not them. They begin to despise the seeking and the reading and the praying and go to the church, and they become cynical at the thought that God would save someone, and it makes them cringe that they could believe somebody would claim this. They've gotten what they wanted, and that is to remain lost and hopeless and despise those who have been saved. There are people who glory in their being lost sitting in this church today. It's a badge of honor to wear that. And they turn around and they look at people whose lives are being changed by Jesus Christ, and they start despising it. God wouldn't do that for me. God doesn't want to do that for me. God doesn't want to change my life like that. I'm going to close with this. Nowhere in the Bible do we find where it says Amnon ever repented for what he did. As far as we can tell in the Bible, he went on living his life as if nothing happened. But what he didn't understand is this situation affected more than just him and Tamar. It affected people around them. Because a few years later, Amnon would be killed by his brother. King David was affected because of the shame and loss of another son. And his daughter, who was violated. It affected Absalom and bred such hatred and bitterness that he killed his own brother. You see, when we have that spirit of Amnon and we have that spirit of Michael within about ourselves, it affects more than just us. It affects the people around us. It affects our loved ones. It affects the people we go to church with. It has an effect on all those people, on words that we say. You know, we say something thinking that we're just talking to somebody, and that person will hear what has just been said by a cynical person, and now that person holds on to it, and they become cynical. Then they become cynical. Then they become cynical. Then you have a bunch of people who've all become cynical and believe that God cannot save anybody anymore. To the Amnons and the Michaels sitting here or watching on Facebook, this is affecting more than just you. This is affecting more than just your life. There are people who are in your life that this, if it's not affecting, it will affect. It will have an effect on them. But it doesn't have to be. You don't have to be killed by an Absalom. You can turn to the one who wants to help you, and his name is Jesus Christ. You can turn to the one who wants to save you from that whatever you're being trapped in, whatever that spirit is inside of you. He can save you from that. He can save you out of that. The problem is you have to believe that's what he wants to do. And if you'll come to him, they call him the divine physician. Look, I'm telling you right now, he is the divine physician. Well, you say, gosh, you have all these back problems. Listen, I can have the back problems all day long. I can deal with the neck problems all day long. What I couldn't deal with was the death inside of me, the depressions and the darknesses and the hopelessness that was inside of me. I could deal with the outside pain, but I couldn't deal with the inside pain. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ wants to step in there, and he wants to take that from you. Mm-hmm. He is the divine physician. He changes the inside of a man. He changes the inside of a woman, and he makes them something different. And boy, what a wonderful life it is. It's not always perfect. We don't walk on water. Bullets don't bounce off our chest any more than anybody else. But let me tell you this. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I lived in the world long enough to know there's nothing on that side that can attract me more than Jesus Christ. That's nothing. Nothing that I haven't tried, nothing that I haven't tasted, nothing that I haven't went out there and did that's going to pull me away from Jesus Christ. What a good God we have. And I'm telling you now, if you'll just believe it, repent, come. He wants to save you today. Get rid of the spirit of Amnon. Get rid of that spirit of Michael. Get rid of that cynical attitude towards the things of God. And he will make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We do thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for saving us. For those who are saved, I ask that you can help us not to become the Amnon, Lord, not to be careful how we tread when we do those things that you call us to do, that we would understand that we are to now live according to your will, that your Son may be conformed inside of us, Lord. And we ask that you'd even help those who may be lost there today, Lord, that you'd watch over them and give them grace and mercy. Help them to continue to seek for the love of the truth, but not just seek it, but to believe it unto repentance. Because God, you said that you love them, that you died for them, and that you want them, Lord. You're not will that any should perish. It's not your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance, Lord. And I thank you so much for that repentance that you will work inside of a person, because it's the goodness of God that leads to your repentance. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done today. We do pray for the 6 o'clock service over there at Anchor. For those who are going, pray for safe travels home. Thank you for what you've done in these services today. In Jesus' holy and precious name, we do pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.